I was, I don't know, me and another fellow was talking just a couple weeks, and I want to see you raise a hand real quick. Have you found it hard to be praying here lately? I mean, like there's this thing happening, right? There's this thing happening. And as I was seeking the Lord this week, I mean, I was crying. I was doing whatever I thought I could. I mean, check my lifestyle, make sure I didn't have no open sin in my life. I asked God for forgiveness, whatever I thought or I knew I was doing. And I mean, there just seems to be this heaviness that's needing to break through. Amen? In my prayer life. Anybody else seeing that? Amen. Well, part of getting through it is admitting it that it's there. All right? Because if you don't know that there's a battle going on, you'll never win. Right? And so we are battling against principalities and powers in the heavenly realms. There are some things going on in the heavens right now that is a suppression, a pushing down of the saints of God here on the earth. And I was looking at that this week and asking God, Lord, what can we do? Right? What can we do? Well, first we know that we need to stick with it. Amen. You pray until you get through, right? And but how do you do that? And so I was going through some archives and stuff, and I listened to other preachers, but nobody that's alive. Okay, I listen to old dead preachers, all right? And one of my favorite preachers that I really like listening to him is John Bunyan. Have you heard of him? All right, he's old. He did Pilgrim's Progress. He wrote a couple other books. This sermon he preached was in 1663, so it's a fresh one. It's a fresh one. And as I was listening to his sermon, I was taking notes, all right, because he brought out some things that I think the church has forgotten to do. All right, we've gotten into this ideal, especially in the last 100 years or so, that Jesus is this lucky rabbit's foot. All right, which I never understood that. For the rabbit, that wasn't very lucky at all. Right, but anyhow, I love you, Isaac. You laugh at all my corny jokes. It's beautiful. And so, but we think of this Jesus, and when we get in a need, we take Jesus out of our pocket, and we praise Him, we worship Him, and once the trouble is past, we tend to put Him back away, you know? And when I need you again, I'll pull you out when I need you, but until that time, stay in my pocket. Well, God is not a God that you can keep in your pocket.
Amen?
Amen? If the grave could not keep Jesus down, your pocket ain't going to hold Him either. Amen? So we need to put ourselves in a position, right? Getting into that position of communicating with God.
Amen.
Now, we know that the Holy Spirit, if you're born again, you got the Holy Spirit. And He makes intercessions for you, groaning in things that you can't say. And so there's a spiritual language that takes place when you pray. But do you know that there's things that you can do right here in your physical body right now to help you pray? All right? That's what we're going to be talking about today. The true entering into the power of prayer. There's power there. But, you know, it's just like having a brand new AR-15, right? Right? And I love it. It's power. I got man. Ba-boom, ba-boom, pew, 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 pew. That kind of thing. You are brand new, super duper 500 cubic inch motor and just all this power, but you just don't know how to use it properly. You never learned how to load it. You never learned how to shift the gears, right? It's a standard. You don't know how to work. Who here knows how to drive a standard? All you old people, keep your hands down. Young folks, they don't know how. They know neutral drive, right? They do this thing. But I was taught how to drive 3 on a tree, baby, right? And so, amen? And so anyhow, we have forgotten some things. And I believe that the church has forgotten some things about how to truly enter in to the presence of God with honor and reverence. You know, we treat Him like He's just this thing, like God is just this thing that whenever something goes wrong, I can call out and He wants to hear my voice. And He does. God cares for you. He loves you. The first thing that we got to know about any of this is that God truly cares and He loves you. And He wants you to be rewarded by Him.
Amen.
All right, the last part of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this. We must believe that He is. Amen. Let me ask you that. You believe that God is. Amen. I am that I am. You believe that.
Amen.
All right, now believing it means that you are, there's evidences in your life that you believe something. Right? There should be evidences in your life that you believe that God is. And that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. See, I think that the church today, in America especially, that diligently has been forgotten. All right? We don't really diligently seek Him. We think God owes it to us that He hears our prayers. All right? And that's not a true statement. God doesn't owe you anything.
Amen.
He doesn't owe you nothing. He is God. He's sovereign. He's the Lord, not you.
Amen.
Right? Now, He loves you. He cares for you. And He wants to bless you abundantly. He wants to do that. And He does that so much that He gave Jesus Christ, the only begotten of God, to die for your sins. What greater love is that, right? That the sinless one became sin for us. That is, praise God for that. Praise God for that salvation. Praise God that He rose on the third day just to fulfill the Scriptures. Amen? Glory to God for that. And now that you have believed that, you should have a diligent lifestyle seeking God.
Amen.
Amen. Diligently seeking the Lord, not just with lip service, but with a lifestyle that is honoring Him, holy and blessed and set apart for the high calling of Christ and what you've been called. Jesus told the woman at the well that God is looking, Jehovah, God the Father is looking for somebody, anyone who would worship Him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verse 24. All right, worshiping the Lord God in spirit and in truth. An honesty within yourself. Worshiping God with integrity. Right? Do you know that God cannot look at sin?
Right.
He can't. He's holy. There is no sin. There's no darkness. There's no shadow of turning within Him.
Amen.
And how can we, as the body of Christ, living in a known sin, willfully come before a holy God? Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ. Amen. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Amen. I thank God through Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the only one able to make that intercession for us. Now, Barnum, he was a little bit tougher on these thoughts than what I am. Amen. Back in 1663, they didn't pull punches. You know, you think I'm a straightforward, right-off-the-hip shooter? No, I'm not able to handle that man's powder. Amen? If you know what I'm talking about, ball powder stuff. These men back then, they set apart hours in study and in prayer. And if you ever, that sermon that he taught this out of lasted 2.5 hours. Standing in a stump, on a stump, preaching to people. Because he wasn't allowed to preach in a pulpit. Because he was a heretic to the king. Because he taught Jesus Christ and Him crucified against the established governmental Anglican. That was the word I was, Anglican church. And so anyhow, Barnum, he in his sermon, and this is one of the things I took out of it, the soul that communes with God attains an attitude in prayer which no man learneth can give. So what he says there, that the soul that communions with God attends an aptitude. I said it wrong. So if you're continuing in prayer, there's an aptitude. There's a place that you can get that only God can bring you.
Amen. Right.
But to get to that, you need to be in a proper position of prayer. And as he was talking here, there are several points that we're going to get to that he set out that prayer needs to be sincere. Prayer needs to be sensible. Prayer needs to be affectionate. The pouring out of a man's heart and soul to God, to the Father, through Jesus Christ, by the assistance of the Holy Spirit. And so those things that he talked about, you need to be sincere. You need to be sensible. That sensible prayer is something that I think that we've forgotten in America. I don't think that we know how to be sensible anymore. All right, Lord, bless me, make me fatter. Right? Instead of helping me through this problem, helping me through it, God, deliver me out of it.
Well, maybe it's not God's will to deliver you out of it.
Right.
It's God's will to work with you, change you, mold you, make you more capable to live inside of that torment, to live inside of that problem, and not deliver you out of it. He says, I will walk through the fire with you. Amen. I'll go through it with you. I'm not going to deliver you out of it. You need to be willing to go in bound hand and foot like the three Hebrew children were, and willingly to give it all to enter into the very presence of the Most High God.
Amen.
Sincere prayer. Sincere prayer. Sensible prayer. Sensible. Lord God, I'm in America. I have everything I need, but bless me with more. That's not sensible, right? How many folks pray to be healed or want something from God, but not willing to do anything that God asked them to do?
Right.
God, I need this, I need that. Fill me, bless me, fill me, make me fuller, right? But God, you want me to give what you've given to me to somebody else? Can't do it, right? We get all in that way, and that's not a sensible prayer to God. God doesn't need... He doesn't want you to keep everything. He wants you to give everything that He's given to you. Right? We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. the affectionate pouring out of the heart and the soul. When was the last time that we really spent any time in prayer? We're going to be looking at Daniel in a little bit, and something that I found about Daniel and his prayer. In Daniel chapter 10, we'll get to that in a little bit. I'm jumping ahead in the sermon because I think this is so important. Daniel spent 3 weeks. 3 weeks. How many? Three. When's the last time you spent 3 weeks in prayer? All right? He said for 3 weeks, he ate no good food. He didn't put nothing in his mouth that was good. So he fasted, but he fasted from any. He didn't have no Snickers bars. He didn't eat no dum-dums. He didn't have a blow pop. He wasn't eating ice cream. You know, he wasn't having nothing good. He was eating bitter herbs and stuff. He had no wine. He didn't drink anything good to his taste. And it says he didn't even take a bath. He didn't even anoint his body for 3 weeks as he sought the face of the Lord. What if we really... We keep asking God to... heal America, right? We want a revival in America. We want this. But what have we done without? Just for a little bit.
Okay.
Amen. Right? Nothing. We've done with... We're so full, we're so fat, and all we're asking is God to bless us more. I think that we've missed the mark of what prayer is really about. We come to God all prideful and haughty. But God doesn't want us to tear our clothes. He wants us to tear our heart.
Yeah.
Right? He doesn't want us just to come and say, oh, God, here I am, make me well. He wants us to say, God, here I am, kill me. Kill the sin that is in my life.
Amen. Yeah.
Teach me holiness. Teach me righteousness. Mm-hmm. Show me the way that I need to go, that I might not sin against you. Private and personal prayer is very essential, amen. And when it is done with the right heart and with the correct motive, God moves.
Amen.
Mark chapter 11, verses 23 through 26 reads this way. For I say to you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, who here has a mountain? I think a mountain is in America right now. There's a mountain of unbelief. There's a mountain of fear. There's a lot of stuff going on in America right now that we need God to move on. Amen. He says, listen, if we do some things right, He will help us to get through this mountain or to move this mountain. And so He says, I say, whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt. Now catch that. You see the problem? Do you believe that God is able to take care of the problem?
Amen.
Do you believe it enough to act on it? See, it's not merely enough to say, God, there's a problem. There's a mountain over there. Move it for me. But you don't have enough faith in yourself to do whatever God says. God says, yeah, there's a mountain, David. There's a mountain out in the field over there. He's cursing God. I want you to go down, pick up a couple of stones in your slingshot and go whoop that boy.
Right? Now, what did David had a choice. He could have said no, or he could have went in the power of the king's armor, right? Because Saul said, here, take my shield, take my sword, because this guy's going to kill you, Dave, when you get out there. And David said, listen, I don't need what you have. I'm being protected by the Most High God. I'm going to fight with what I am able to fight with. I'm going to take my little bitty slingshot and a few pebbles, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to show that man who God is.
Amen?
Amen? We, the church, need to have that kind of faith. That there's a mountain in the way, there's an obstruction in our life, and we know that God is able, but we need to get out there in the field with our little slingshot.
Sure.
Amen? That is not in our power, in our might, that this mountain's going to move, but it's through the power of Jesus Christ, it's through the faith of the believer. You've got to believe it, you've got to say it, and without doubting it.
Amen.
So many times we go to the Lord and say, God bless me, God help me, God feed me, but we don't believe it enough to do anything about it. When you have done all that you can do, then stand. Right? There's something that the church needs to do today. Right? You say, well, Jesus paid it all. Amen. You know the other part of that song? All to Him I owe. Right? Do you owe Jesus anything? You owe Him everything. Everything. He bought you out of sin, death, and hell. He gave you a right to stand in the Most High place. He's given you a seat at the table of the Most High God. And you owe Him everything.
Amen.
We need to hold on to that. He said, and you shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say to you, when you pray, believe that you receive them... that you receive them, and you shall have them. Verse 25 says, and when ye stand praying, forgive. Ooh. Wait, all right. God said that I can have these things. He said that He'll bless me with this stuff. If I really believe it, then He puts that forgive thing in there. That means I need to forgive Cuomo.
That's right.
Amen. It does. Amen. How about... All of the wickedness that's being done in the world, right? And in America, all these riots and all these houses and all this stuff being burned down, are we supposed to be angry with those people? No. Jesus said we're supposed to forgive them. How much sin did Jesus forgive you of? All of it. All right. Now, between you and God, don't tell me because I don't care. Between you and God, how dirty were you when He found you? I was filthy, wretched, disgusting, filled with sin. And yet God saw me, loved me, saved me. Church, it says that we need to forgive, all right? We need verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. Who here needs a little bit of forgiveness today?
Amen.
Go ahead, you can say it like you mean it.
Amen.
No, I need forgiveness. I really do. I need forgiveness. Now, Jesus forgave me of everything, right? But you know what I did this week? I sinned. You know what I need? I need my feet washed. I'm clean because of the word that He spoke to me, like Peter, right? Jesus was at the Last Supper and He said, listen, I need to wash your feet. Peter said, you ain't washed my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. And then Peter said, listen, wash my whole body. And Jesus said, come on, Peter, chill out, dude. You don't need a whole bath. All you need is your feet washed because you've been walking through the world. Right? Who here's been walking through the world? All right? You need your feet washed. All right? You need your feet washed. You need to come to Jesus and you need to be honest before Him. You need to kick off your socks and shoes. You need to get comfortable with Him. Amen. You know when you go to somebody's house and you kick off your shoes and your socks, you're comfortable. Amen, right? Because, anyhow, keep my flesh down, all right? We need to be in that place to forgive those, to be comfortable with God. And it says in verse 26, if we do not forgive, if ye forgive not, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. All right, so the thing about entering into true prayer, first, you can't doubt that God is real, that He wants to answer your
Amen.
Prayer. He cares about what you're saying. The second part is that He talks about you need to have a heart of forgiveness.
Amen.
All right, who here has some things that they just can't get over because of yesterday?
Amen. Not yesterday, just 24 hours ago, but yesterday, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. All right, yesterday, a long time ago. I was hurt when I was 4 years old, right? And I'm carrying that burden today. Well, it's time to get over that.
Amen.
It's time to forgive those people. It's time to get past that. It's time to come to the Lord and cry out to Him with your whole mouth, with your whole heart, pouring your soul with a sincere desire that you be heard from God. Right? That when you pray, your prayers would not be hindered. And do you know that if you don't forgive, that your prayers are hindered? Amen. The psalmist, the musician of David wrote this, Psalm 66, verse 17 and 18. I cried unto Him, meaning God, with my mouth, and He was extolled, He was extolled with my tongue. In other words, I praised God with my voice, right? I was talking all kinds of great things. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, is what it says in 18.
Amen.
All right, 17 says, listen, I'm talking to God, I'm praising Him, lifting my hands, Lord Jesus, You are holy, You are worthy, I love You, I praise You, Lord, You are great. And God says, yeah, you're right, I'm all those things. But I'm not going to hear your prayer if you have sin. If you have unrepented sin. He says, look at what if I regard iniquity, lawlessness in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So something that the church needs to really get serious about God, be sincere and serious about what we're saying. Be honest with your sin before God.
Amen.
Do you know He knows that you're a sinner already? He already knows what you did in the secret place. He knew what you did in the secret place before you did what you did in the secret place. And He's saying, listen, if you want to get right, you want your prayers heard, you really want to see Me move in a nation, in a people, in your life, forgive those who did wrong to you, and then get your life right with Me. All right? Do you know that if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin? That if you stand and you say, God, I have no sin, then you're trying to make Him a liar because He said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if you're standing there in your own self-righteousness saying, oh God, look at me. I'm so good. I've never sinned. All right, if that is your thought, if that's your mindset, stop your stinking thinking. Right? Because you are a sinner. You know how I know you're a sinner? The Bible says so. I don't need to know your grunty little stuff that's on the inside. I need to know what the Bible says. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory, right? How many is all? Point at yourself and say me. Amen? And if you are honest before God, you look at Him and say, yes, God, I know I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need forgiveness. Will You forgive me? He is faithful. He is just to forgive you. Amen? He is faithful and He's just. He's doing it because you belong to Him. You're born again. You've been set apart for His glory.
Bless God.
We must seek God. I mean, one must truly seek God. Not with our own desires, but with this sincerity, with this brokenness, with this honesty, to be sincere and blameless before God, to open your heart and your consciences to the holy God. Man, when was the last time you really did that? I mean, Lord, we might even get on our knees, right? And we go before the Lord and we lift our hands, right? And we're praying, oh God, I want You to heal this nation. And God tells you, hey, before you get on your knees, before you bring your sacrifice to Me, you know that somebody has an ought against you. You need to go fix that. Oh, wait a minute, God. Hold on. I'm praying. Can't you hear me praying, Lord? Just chill out. I'm there fishing. Then I'll get up. Anybody do that? Amen? I do that. That is a sin before God. Stop it. When God tells you, God doesn't want to hear your prayer until you want to hear it. As long as you're holding iniquity in your heart, He doesn't want to hear that. When He reminds you, you're in your prayer, you're getting ready to get in your prayer closet, you're about ready to go before the Lord, He says, excuse me, George, before you do this, there's something I really want you to do. And He said, wait, God, no. God, I'm about ready to pray to You. Don't you care? God says, yes, I care. I love You. I'm really concerned about you. But first, let's go get your feet washed. Amen? First, let's take off your sandals because you're about ready to enter into holy ground. Let's get your heart right. Let's get your mind right. Let's get you right before Me because you're about ready to enter into the presence of the Most High God. So you need to be clean. Who here would go see, like, the president or, you know, somebody of high authority, right? And somebody that you really think a lot of. And you wouldn't even take a bath before you went. Right? Amen? Because that's really what God is saying. He's saying, listen, you're about ready to enter into this most holy, this most precious place. And you're coming to me dirty. First cleanse yourself. At least take a shower. You know? And I'm not talking about get wet and just put on a little deodorant. I mean, let's get clean. Right? Let's prepare to enter into the presence of the Most High God. Because if you were going anywhere else to see anybody else, you would take care of that stuff before you entered in. Mm-hmm. Right? And God's really not cared about I used a shower. He's looking for your heart. Mm-hmm. He's looking. You need to examine yourself as you get ready to go into prayer. See, and if you judge yourself, then you will not be judged. Right? You've got to get right before God. Now, I don't want to make this sound like it's too hard to do, because it's not too hard to do. As we just talked about from 1 John, if we confess our sin, how do you get clean before God? First, you be honest with Him.
Amen.
Right? You got to be honest. You got to be straight up and say, God, I've been watching this stuff on TV, right? I was watching NCIS. I don't know. But that's one of my shows. Or I was watching whatever, right? And I know that that's ungodly. I know that you told me to go to prayer instead of watching, I don't know, Leave It to Beaver, right? And so you say, all right, God, but, you know, Leave It to Beaver is really cool. It's a good thing. But God said, no, turn off the noise and meet me. Turn off Facebook and meet me.
Yes.
Turn off the things that are interrupting our conversation and meet me.
Amen.
Then we got to be sincere about that. We got to confess that before the Lord. And it's okay to say, God, I really don't want to. That's a confession. Mm-hmm. Right? You look at the Lord and say, yeah, God, you're telling me that I don't want to. And God said, all right, then I'll go to somebody else. You don't want to do it? I'm going to get my work done, God says. God is always at work, and He's always going to accomplish what He wants to accomplish. He is sovereign. You are not. Right? He's in charge. You are not. And He says, listen, if you want to be used by me, then I need you to do this. All right? And I don't know what this is in your personal life, but I know that there are some this's in my life, you know, that I had to get squared away with God before He would use me.
Right.
He said, listen, Curtis, if you really want to preach the Word, This, it needs to be squared away with me. It doesn't need to be confessed, because I already know you do it.
That's right.
It needs to be repented of. It needs to be nailed to the cross. It needs to be killed. It needs to be taken out of the way. Right? And then once you do that, then God says, all right, here I am. You do this, and I will bring you up here.
Amen.
Right? And then when you get there and you think you've made it, who here thought that they made it every once in a while? Oh, I'm so good, God. I made it up here. God steps up. He says, all right, yeah, I've given you control over this. You know what I want you to do? This, and this. Oh, but God, those are things I really love. I like John Wayne. I don't want to stop watching John Wayne. He says, no, you've got to turn off John Wayne, because you're spending 3 hours a weekend with him and not any time with me. So turn it off. John Wayne really didn't kill all those Indians, by the way. He says, stop, turn it off. Because I want you to be up here with me, and this is in your way, so stop that. And you got to say, yes, Lord, I love you more than these.
Amen.
And you die to that, and then you come into that place, and God fills you more. And to be, after you confess, He forgives us, and He brings us into all righteousness. Amen.
Blessed.
The second point, praise God, it's only 12 o'clock, and I just got to point two. There's five of these. And this is just the first. He did it for 2 hours, right? So, buckle up. Second point. To be focused and sensible about your prayer. Like if you were going into the presence of the president, right? Or the judge, right? You would have your case already written out before you went there. What you were going to say, how you were going to say it. You might even practice it in the mirror, right? Because you don't want to get up before the judge and say, well, God, you know, or excuse me, well, Judge, I'm going to talk about earthly things. Well, Judge, yeah, I know you allowed me to come into your courtroom and
to say my case, but I really don't know what my case is. You know, so I'm just going to stand here and babble for a little bit. Right? God doesn't want your babbling. He already knows what you need before you ask it, but He wants you to know what you need before you ask.
Amen.
Right? He wants you to know, to have an understanding of what you want, what you need from Him before you enter into Him.
Amen.
Make your prayer plain. Mm-hmm. All right, Lord, I'm praying for my son Seth. Lord Jesus, I know he does not know you as his Lord and Savior. I pray that you reach out to Seth today, Father, that you touch his heart, that you open his eyes that he might see. Specific, sensible prayer.
Amen.
All right? Amen. Father God, you know that I'm struggling with this thing, right? There's this sin in my life. I'm struggling with it. I've fought all I can do. Lord, here is the sin. Show me how to kill it. And then God's going to tell you to do something. Well, you got to confess that to your wife. Mm-hmm. No, wait, God, I cannot confess that to my wife. Then you'll not get victory over it. All right, you got to tell it to your husband that, yeah, you did buy 6 more pair of shoes this week. All right, or whatever that is, you got to confess it. Right, you got to bring it out. You got to tell your boss at work that, yeah, boss, I've been stealing an extra 10 minutes a day from you. And I need to work some overtime to pay that back. Sensible things.
Amen.
God will tell you, listen, do some sensible stuff. Let's get ready and do some things to be focused and simple. Pouring out your heart and your soul before a holy God is not just babbling, making requests for things or personal health or bless my puppy, it's in the vet. Hey, no, I know God cares about puppies and stuff like that, so don't get me wrong when I say this. But if your puppy dies, it doesn't go to heaven. Right? You know? And I know, George, that makes you upset. Yeah. But heaven was not made. God has a new puppy for you in heaven. He's already there, right? So don't worry about that. He's concerned about the soul and the heart of human beings. Jesus died to set humans free from sin. Animals don't have to worry about that. Right? So, I don't know, when I say you won't go to heaven, I don't know that. I really can't say that. I know that there are animals in heaven. There's horses in heaven, right? So, I don't know. There might be dogs, too. Probably no cats. See, I'm an equal offender, right? I get everybody sooner or later. And so, but make a sensible prayer. I have an example from Daniel chapter 9. Daniel is a great, you want to learn how to pray, you look at this man's prayer. And in Daniel chapter 9, it's a really, really long prayer, so I'm just going to kind of breeze over it a little bit. It says in verse 3 that he set his face to the Lord to seek by prayer, supplication, with supplications, with fastings, sackcloth, and ashes. All right, look at what he said. All right, God, I'm going to seek your face. I want to know what's going on in the heavenlies. I want to know. I was reading through the scripture, and I know that Jeremiah said that 70 years and then the captivity is over, and it's like 69 and a half, right? God, I know we're coming to the end of this dispensation of the Hebrews being captured by Nebuchadnezzar, and we're about ready to go into the land again, all right? So, God, I need to seek your face. So he said, what I need to do is I need to sit down, get my supplications, my request, I need to have them laid out before the Lord first. I need to have sensible prayer. I need to have not just say something, but say something with meaning.
Amen.
To the Lord. All right? So the supplication, that request, I sent his face to God. He said, I need to seek the Lord by prayer and supplications with fasting. When was the last time we really fasted before God? I mean, really and truly. I'm not talking about 24 hours. I'm talking about fasting. All right? And fasting always in the Bible talks with food. That's because they didn't have the internet in those days. Right? Now, if you can control your appetite, that lets you know you can control your flesh. So that fasting, that's what that's about. And so Daniel said, listen, I'm going to...
I'm going to give what I need to say, my supplications. I'm going to seek the face of the Lord. I'm setting my heart and my mind to that. I'm getting a list of things that I need to talk to the Lord about. And to make sure that I don't get sidetracked, I'm going to set a time and I'm going to fast. It says in chapter 10 that he put no... Chapter 10 and verse 3. I want to make sure that I say this right. This is a different time. He was going to be speaking to Cyrus the king, or it was in the Cyrus the king's days. And so it says in verse 2 of chapter 10, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 full weeks. He was mourning, brokenhearted, for 3 full weeks. When was the last time you were brokenhearted for more than just a moment? I mean, before God. I mean, you were really... Hey, we want to see America change. We want to see the church arise. Are you broken over that? Have you mourned more than 5 minutes for the church that's dying in our presence? Have you mourned for your pastor? Have you been brokenhearted? Have you sought the Lord? Have you set your face to seek Him? Have you got your supplications in order? Have you fasted? He says in verse 3, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. 3 weeks he had no fresh bread. 3 weeks he took no grape juice, no wine. He was only drinking water. 3 weeks. When was the last time that you didn't have a piece of bread for 3 weeks? I had bread last night. We had pasta. So I had double bread, twice as much. Daniel is saying here, when you get serious with prayer, God will get serious with you. All right, and as Daniel laid out back in chapter 9, he laid out his desire before the Lord. He set his face to seek by prayer, supplications, fasting, sackcloth. He put on no comfortable clothing. When was the last time that you put on a burlap clothes, burlap next to your skin? Right, amen? Because that's what he's, sackcloth, that's what he's talking, burlap. He got alone. He got his mind squared away. He said, I'm going to fast and I'm going to put no comfortable stuff. I don't want to be comfortable. America, church, how's your comfortableness? Lord, I'm going to pray to you, but I'm going to pray in my air-conditioned office. I'm going to pray in my recliner. I'm going to have a pop beside me. Right? I'm going to have a bowl of potato chips. I'm going to pray sitting right here at my fat tail on my fat couch, right? And in all of my abundance, and then I'm going to pray. That's not what Daniel did. Daniel said, I'm going to take no good food. I'm going to fast. I'm going to set my mind in order. I'm not going to have on anything comfortable. I don't want to be comfortable. America, we're way comfortable. We are way comfortable. No wonder God's not hearing our prayers. No wonder there's this thing over top of us. No wonder it seems like the enemy is blocking our communication with God. We're fat. We're lazy. I know that's not comfortable, you know. I know that's not... Nobody wants to hear that, right? I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that, but that's what God is saying. He's saying, if you really get serious with me, you really want to be serious, you really want to be sincere. I mean, I lightly went to my knees here in prayer. Let me ask you, when were you serious on your face before God? You want your prayer to be heard? You want your forgiveness to... Forgiveness is free, it's granted. Jesus already paid for it all. When are you going to get serious about it? When are you going to fast about it? When are you going to have your supplications in order before you go to the Most High God? If you went to your boss, right, with a set of grievances, wouldn't you have your grievances in order before you went to his office? Right? Wouldn't you have, he calls you into his office, right? He calls you and says, hey, Curtis, I got to talk to you, son. Wouldn't you have, like, some things in mind that you'd be able to at least have a sensible conversation with him? That's what Jesus is asking for here. That's what Daniel wanted to say. He said, listen, then I set my face, supplication, fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And then I prayed. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and I made confession. Wow. He made what? Confession. He was honest before God, and he talked, and he said, "O Lord, the great and dreadful God, when was the last time you had fear when you were in the presence of God?" Dreadful. Have you ever thought of God as dreadful? How many times do you think the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord? Fear and dreadful, mighty and powerful. When he speaks, the mountains shake. Amen? When he says something, when he says, "Sea part," guess what happened? The sea parted. When he was on Mount Sinai and he was about ready to give the commandments to Moses, the mountain was ablaze. Wouldn't you be afraid? Wouldn't you fear? When he spoke, it sounded like thunder rolling in the hills and he was speaking. That's the same God that wants you to have communion with him. Daniel said he is a great and dreadful God. Man. To the great who keeps the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Did you see the two things that he talked about there? You want the mercy of God? God keeps that mercy to those who keep his commandments. Mm-hmm. How many of the commandments of God are you keeping? Or how many of the commandments of God are you not keeping? These are not the 10 high suggestions. All right? And if you want to say, well, the commandments were of the Old Testament, we'll try to follow the ones that were written down in the Beatitudes.
Right.
They were much harder. All right? And it says, don't commit adultery. But Jesus said, if you look at a man or a woman with lust in your heart, you've already done it. You've blown it up already. Right? Yeah, I think Jesus' laws were a whole lot harder than God's laws. He said, just don't do it. Jesus said, if you think about it, you've already done it. So keep the commandments of God. And you know what the two greatest commandments are, and we know this, right? To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, right? And then to love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you do these two, then you've completed the whole law. You know what the problem is? We never filled out the first one. Right? Really, I mean, honestly, inside of yourself, who can sit here and honestly, truly say, I love God with all? Right? With all. Is he really and truly first?
Remember,
in everything?
He can be.
He should be. He's available. The only reason I let her talk the way she does, all right, and I want to let some
of
you know.
Old and I've been
amen. That's it. Yeah, because she's old. She's old, and I love her. She's like my grandma. And who here would ever tell their grandma to be quiet? Amen? And I love you. I love you. And I live with the Holy Spirit just work through you completely. I know that makes some folks feel uncomfortable because they go back, well, women ought to be quiet in the church. When your grandma speaks up, you tell her to be quiet, okay? Anyhow, I love you. You and so. Now, if your daughter does, well, fix her. No. Anyhow, and the reason I said that when Mary spoke out, I saw the expression on a couple of faces, all right? I want you to know that she has liberty because she has lived it.
I have come along. Took a lot of years to get here.
Amen.
And
you said enough. And you said enough. And I love you. So anyhow, in that, right, we ought to be seeking God with a sincere heart, seeking God with an honesty, seeking God like Daniel sought it, to set his face to look unto God, to seek with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes, that honest and sincere and sensible prayer that God wants us to have. How about that third point that that John talked about in 1663, being affectionate. Affectionate, exposing your soul before a righteous God. When was the last time we really prayed in that attitude? Right? God already knows what your soul is, but how about you being so exposed, so bare, so naked before God? And I'm not talking about clothes, I'm talking about the inner part, your deepest soul. you know, that part, and bringing it before God, unashamed and not covered. All right? God's already there. He already knows it. But something happens to you when you do that. Mm-hmm. Amen? God already knows. He already knows your inside from your outside. He's already there. He knows your deepest secret parts. But to be honest before Him and to lay it out in such a way.
Amen.
It sets you free. Right? It sets you free. God's already free and He wants you to have that same liberty. So when you come to the Lord with a deep, sincere, honest, and affectionate, oh God, you are worthy. Alright? I am unworthy. You are worthy. You're holy. I'm unholy. You're clean. I'm dirty. And as I'm saying this, I'm speaking in very relative things. You know what your dirt is. Tell that dirt to God. I mean, be frank and honest. God, I'm struggling with this. This is my sin today. Right? Cleanse me. And God says, cleanse. Fix me. God says, fix. Right? Confess it. That affectionate pouring out of your soul before a righteous God. Oh, that the heart with a vigor and with affection, with the right prayer, the right mindset of prayer. When the heart panteth, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after thee. Right? When was that in your life? As a deer that's in the desert looking for water, you're panting for water, your tongue's drying in your mouth, thick and cracking. How much you would like to have a touch of water on your tongue. Is your soul like that, dry and thirsty, panting after the water from the throne of the Most High God? That kind of passion. Right? When we get there, when you get there in your prayer life, and you start having that deep, sincere, pointed prayer with that affection, oh God, He will move over you. Right? God is sovereign. He's going to do what God's going to do, right? He is absolutely in control. But what He wants to do is mold us to the times that we're in, change us, that He can use us in this time. And when you pray and you pray the right way, it doesn't really change God. It changes you.
Amen.
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 And when you get changed by the Holy Spirit, when He comes and He starts molding you and tearing off those sinful, ugly, calloused, nasty things out of your life, and He replaces it with goodness and righteousness and mercy
Amen.
And grace, and then He sends you out. He says, I made you so clean. I polished you up. Mm-hmm. You got out that turd wax, and then He rubbed it and rubbed it. Wax on, wax off, right? And so He did that in you. And now He says, go and shine. Go and shine. You go with my glory. You go into the world. And you start affecting the world, infecting the world with my love, my grace, my mercy. The same grace, love, and mercy that I used on you, used on other people.
Right?
And when we get in that mindset of prayer, things happen. Right? God's still on the throne, and prayer changes things, right? We've all heard that saying from who's that radio pastor?
Southwest.
God's still on the throne, and prayer changes things. No. You know what prayer changes?
You.
Amen? The thing that He needs to change is me.
Amen.
Right? The thing that prayer needs to do, I need to go before God. He shows me what righteousness is. He tells me how to get there, and I change.
Yeah.
Amen? Right. And it's not by works you're saved. Amen? Indeed, it is the grace of God. But because you are saved by God's grace, there are works to be done.
Amen.
And expressing that and laying it out before the Lord. I have Psalm 71, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to pass it, y'all. Okay, it's 12:20. I'm thinking of my wife in the kids' room. Last time I preached for 2 hours, she said, you shouldn't do that. Next week, all right, this affectionate, sensible, sincere prayer will continue with. Amen? Because this is not the end. This is page 2 out of 4. And this is just part 1 out of 5. Okay, so this may take a little while. That's okay. But I think prayer, if we're going to break through this thing that's happening in America right now, that's happening over the church, if we're going to break through this, there's some things that I need to adjust in my life. Because God's still waiting to hear my prayer. What's stopping my prayer from reaching Him is me. Right? It's some things that I need to do. I'll be honest with you. It's been a long time since I've really fasted without the doctor telling me so. And again, thank the Lord for that. If the doctor told you to fast, would you do it? Absolutely you would. You know how many times God tells you to fast in the Bible? More than you can count. More than my fingers and toes. That's as high as I can count, by the way. So we need to think about what true fasting is. What true supplication is. Praying in sackcloth and in ashes. What does that mean in 2020? What does that mean? Amen. It's that.
Turn off the noise.
Amen, yeah. Turn off the noise. That's a great way to start. Because God speaks in a still soft voice. He's not going to use a trumpet to get... Well, He will one day use a trumpet to get our attention, but then we'll be gone. Right? But until that day, He has us here on this planet. And I know that we are... I'm having a hard time entering into that place that a year ago was much easier to enter in. All right? And I know that my life really hasn't changed that much, so there must be something going on in the heavenly realms. There's a warfare going on outside of what we can see. And even in Daniel's account, remember when Gabriel came to him and said, listen, Dan, your prayer's been heard since the first day you started praying, but I've been wrestling with the Prince of Persia and I wasn't able to get here. There's battles going on. There are powers and principalities in the heavenly realms that I'm sure that the angelic host are having a hard time right now. Satan knows his time is short. Right? And there's a battle in the heavenly realms right now that as we're praying, it's not that God's not hearing, it's just it's going to take a little time. And we might need to get our lives in line, right? If we get our lives in line, and then let whatever happens, what needs to happen in the heavenly realms, let that happen. Because Gabriel fought until Michael came in and took over the battle, that Gabe could come and tell the story to Daniel. Right? So I don't know what's going on up there, but I do know that there's something, because I've heard it from several born-again, washed-in-the-blood Christians, right, that are saying that they're having a struggle in their prayer life. All right, so let's start with a couple things. Let's start with praying, so maybe some sackcloth, getting out of our comfort zone, right? Getting to a place of broken humility. Mm-hmm. And then having a sincerity and a focus in prayer. Right. Instead of the shotgun prayers, everybody likes a shotgun prayer, rabbit, boom, shoot in the air, just phrase a lot way. No, come on, we need that bullet shot. We need some straight shooters. We need some folks that know what the target is and what how to pray to reach the target. And I believe that the saints, God's preparing us to join in the battle, amen, with prayer and supplication. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer, all right? And y'all think about these things. Dear Father, we love you. Lord, I thank you for the word. I thank you for this idea of preparing, getting ready for the battle through prayer. I pray, Lord Jesus, I'm asking, Father, that you would teach us how to fast. Teach us how to really make supplication, to have our prayer life, our prayers in order for you, Lord. I pray that you would help us to know what it means to pray out of our poverty and not out of our wealth. Lord, I pray that you would move on your body of believers, Father, to teach us what is holy, right, and just. Lord, wash us that we might be cleansed before you. Lord, help us to take this battle of prayer. I mean, this is life and death, Father. Help us to really understand it that way. Lord, we thank you for it. We trust you in it. and we ask, Lord God, that you would anoint us for that time. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God.